I want to ask you to open your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 5, and you will find that if you want to use the Bibles in the seats on page 1296. We're taking a short break from our series in the evening through Matthew and our series of the book of Ezra in the morning service because we're hoping to have election of elders in a couple of weeks, and Bill will have more words to say about that in a moment. Psalm 28 is a prayer to God. Shepherd your people. What a beautiful prayer. And we'll see here in 1 Peter chapter 5 that Peter is giving an exhortation to the elders, and he helps them to realize that the chief shepherd is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we rejoice in that this morning, that God indeed is our shepherd. Jesus himself said that he was the good shepherd. So if you turn to page 1296, and we'll read the first four verses of 1 Peter chapter 5. So I exhort the elders among you, as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed, shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another, for God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So just note there in verse 5, he's saying that if you're not an elder in the church, you'd submit to the elders. And the scriptures tell us that as you submit to the elders, so that they can do their job with joy. So we're going to have an election of elders in a couple of weeks, and it's not something that we do very often. I should have asked. I think it's probably been close to maybe 20 years since we've elected elders, maybe not quite that long. I should have asked for that date before I came up here. But I think in many respects that is a good thing, that God has put shepherds over us, men who care. He's given us deacons who care. And so we don't have to do this on a yearly basis or every other year basis. But the session does believe that it's time for us to elect additional elders, and so we've been moving towards that. So in light of that, we're going to take it a couple of weeks here to look at some of the things with the elders, or concerning the elders. And so we have here Peter's words to the elders. So what I want to share with you this morning is that the elders in the church are called by God and rewarded by God to serve the people of God. They're called by God and rewarded by God to serve the people of God. Again, we don't do this very often, but I think in some respects that's a testimony to the people that God has placed in this office of elder are people that do this eagerly. It's not tedious for them. Hopefully it's most of the time a joy. So I want you to note Peter's description of himself here. He says that he's a fellow elder. Interesting, he's an apostle, but he sees himself as an elder. Second thing he says about himself, he's a witness of the sufferings of Christ. And the third thing, he's a partaker of the glory that is to be revealed. We'll come back to that last phrase in a little bit, because at the end of this section, verse 4, tells us that the chief shepherd will award or reward the people who serve well in this office. Now, if you're with us last week in the evening service, Martin began our little series on the eldership with looking at 1 Timothy chapter 3. Let me give you a couple of points from that chapter. The first thing it says is that if anyone aspires to the office of overseer, it is a fine work that he desires to do. So we get from that idea that there's an internal call. There's a conviction, there's a passion that God puts on the heart of people to serve in this area. It seems that Paul wanted that to be somewhat visible, because I don't know what your aspirations are unless you tell them to us. But Paul says to those people who desire to serve as an elder that it's a fine work. It's a good thing that they desire to do. The second thing about 1 Timothy chapter 3 is you'll note that there's a whole list of character qualities that are assigned for the elders. And so this is where we get the idea of the external call. There's the internal call. God puts it upon the heart of people to serve. And then there's the outward call, that God is giving us a list of character qualities that we should look for the people who are going to serve as elders. So there's the inward call and there's the outward call. As we move forward in the process, we're going to be helping some people to determine if they have both that inward call and that outward call. And it's interesting, if you look at the list of 1 Timothy 3 and a somewhat parallel list given to us in Titus 1, you'll note that almost all the things that are listed there are not skills, but they're character qualities. You could say there's a couple of skills, perhaps managing his own household well, able to teach, those might be skills. But for the most part, all the rest of them are character qualities. So God wants people in leadership in his church who are people of high quality, people who reflect the character qualities of Jesus Christ. So as we move into 1 Peter chapter 3, I want us to look at, first of all, that an elder's responsibility is to shepherd. An elder's responsibility is to shepherd. And so that's what Peter says here in verse 2, shepherd the flock of God that is among you. Now, we generally have two pictures of the elder. And we use the phrase a teaching elder and a ruling elder. And they come from 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 15, where Paul says, let elders who rule well be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who work hard at preaching and teaching. So there's ruling elders, and then there's people inside that list that are teaching elders, and though we call those pastors today. I prefer the idea of a shepherding elder. 1 Timothy 5:17 is really the only picture that gives us that idea of ruling elders, that elders who rule well be considered worthy of double honor. But the idea of shepherding is throughout the scriptures. And so the idea of the shepherding elder is that they are to shepherd. The elder's responsibility is to shepherd. Now, again, this idea is given to us throughout the scriptures. Let me give you a couple of pictures that we have from both the Old Testament and New Testament of the eldership. It says here that the elder is to exercise oversight. And the idea here is to mark or to pay attention, to carefully look. So the idea of a shepherd is that you would mark somebody, a particular lamb or something that perhaps needed some extra care. When I was coaching Little League Baseball with my son, the coaches would often get together and we would kind of mark somebody, saying that, you know, that person could be a good shortstop or that person really has some skill in this game. So elders exercise oversight, marking, noticing, carefully observing the people. In Proverbs chapter 27, verse 23, it says that we know well the condition of our flock. And so elders exercise oversight and to know well the condition of their flock. But let me give you a couple of New Testament pictures of shepherds. Jesus tells the parable of the lost sheep. You're well familiar with it. The shepherd has 99 sheep that are still in the flock, but one is missing. And so what the shepherd does, according to the parable, is he leaves the 99 and goes after the one that's lost. And so the idea there, I think, is that of the concern for the individual. There's a remarkable story in Mark chapter 5. And this has really struck me as I've been studying through the Gospel of Mark with some of you, but in Mark chapter 5, Jesus goes over the sea to the land of the Gerasenes. And then there's an event that happens there, and there's a couple implications of that event. And then it says Jesus returned to the other side. So it seems that Jesus went across the sea to the area of the Gerasenes, and then he returned for only one purpose. He didn't do anything else except he healed the man that was plagued with demonic possession. He went over, he healed the man. There's repercussions, there's the community gathers. But as soon as that happens, he returns. You see, Jesus, it seems that the only reason Jesus went to the land of the Gerasenes was to heal the man. And shepherds are to exercise concern for the individuals. Mark well, know well the condition of your flock. The second picture that we have in the New Testament is that of the Good Shepherd. Of course, this is the Lord Jesus Christ in John chapter 10, verses 14 and 15. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. An elder is one that is called to sacrifice for the sheep under his care. So let me give you a couple of Old Testament pictures of the shepherds. Usually the Old Testament, the times they talk about shepherds, they talk about them in not so endearing terms of their struggling. But let me give you a few of the pictures that we have here. In Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 21, it says, "For the shepherds have become stupid and have not sought the Lord. Therefore, they have not prospered, and all their flock is scattered." One of the requirements for a shepherd is to seek the Lord, to be men who are worshiping God, praying for the flock, offering counsel to the flock, seeking to bring welfare to the flock. If the shepherds do not seek the Lord, it says they're stupid. Their flock won't prosper and their flock is scattered. In Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 2, it says this, "Therefore, thus says the Lord God of Israel concerning the shepherds who are tending my people. You have scattered my flock and driven them away and have not attended to them. Behold, I'm about to attend to you for the evil of your deeds." Again, most of the Old Testament pictures of shepherds are ones that have fallen into greed or fallen into their own comfort. And here they're saying that they've not shepherded his people. And because of that, there will be a judgment for them. A third picture that we have is in Ezekiel chapter 34. And we just read, and as Bill pointed out, that we began reading in chapter 11. But the first few verses of Ezekiel 34 are troubling verses, because they talk about the elders not caring for the weak. The shepherds are feeding themselves and not feeding the sheep. It says, "You eat the fat and clothe yourselves with wool. You slaughter the fat sheep without feeding the flock. Those who are sickly you have not strengthened, and the diseased you have not healed. The broken you have not bound up, the scattered you have not brought back, nor have you sought for the lost. But with force and severity you have dominated them." Again, it's a pronouncement of woe on the shepherds because of how they were leading the people. But you know, beginning in chapter 11 of verse 34, God says, "I'm going to shepherd my people. I'm going to be the one that feeds them." Jesus Christ, ultimately, we'll get to in a moment, is the chief shepherd. And those who serve as elders in the church are merely serving under his leadership. And then in Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 15, it says this, "Then I will give you shepherds after my own heart who will feed you on knowledge and understanding." You see, God raises up among his people shepherds after his own heart. And they feed them on knowledge and understanding. It's one of the reasons why one of the requirements of an elder is that he's able to teach, because we need to be feeding people. The elders need to be feeding people the word of God, helping them understand and apply and treasure the Word of God. So the first thing we need to understand is that an elder's responsibility is to shepherd. Notice the second thing in this passage, that the elder's motivation is to serve. Peter gives three statements here, both a negative side and a positive side. So an elder's motivation is to serve. And let's look at these statements that he makes. Verse 2, shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you. So an elder is to serve with willingness. He's to serve with willingness. Something he's to be eager to do. I've known churches where elders have told me things like, well, if I don't serve, who else is going to serve? To me, that's serving under compulsion. I would rather wait and say, let's trust God to raise up with somebody else. So an elder is to serve willingly. He's to know the church and to willingly want to serve. Now, you need to know three things about the eldership as we prepare for the vote in a couple of weeks. We have to recognize that the eldership is not a right. You should not elect people to the eldership just because their grandfather was an elder or their family paved the parking lot for the church. It's not a right. The eldership is not a reward. It's not, well, because so-and-so has served the church well, we're going to reward him with the office of eldership. And the third thing that you have to recognize is that it's not bait. It's not that, well, if we elect so-and-so to the eldership, maybe then he'll really start getting serious about his walk with the Lord. It's not bait. We don't do that. We have to see that the eldership is a privilege. And that's the idea that Peter is giving here. It's a privilege to serve as an elder. It's not a right. It's not a reward. It's not bait. It's a privilege. It is a calling. So elders are to serve willingly. And again, that's why 1 Peter chapter 3 says, if any man aspires to the office of overseer, is a fine work he desires to do. Is it something that God has put upon your heart? Again, it seems that those aspirations should be known. I think one of the difficult things for a session is to know in whose heart God is putting this on, putting this calling on their hearts. So an elder is to serve with willingness. Secondly, he's to serve with eagerness. And you see that as at the end, in the middle part of verse 2. Not for shameful gain, but eagerly. Elders are not to serve as a means of gaining wealth. I don't know how anybody in the any elder in the RP church would think that's a possibility, but it's not to happen. But it's also not the idea of trying to gain in terms of power or influence. The idea is to serve. It's to serve with eagerness. The root word, the Greek language for eager, is passion. The word is used to sometimes translate it as anger or heat. So the idea is that they're to take this seriously. It's to be a passion, to serve eagerly. Serving the church of God as an elder needs to be a priority in their lives because they serve with eagerness. The third statement that Paul makes is that an elder is to serve as an example. And it says here in the last part, beginning of verse 3, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. Elders are to be an example of godliness and holiness. Paul said, imitate me as I also imitate Christ Jesus. So we're to look for men of godly character, people that we would say, I would like to follow that person's example. Because elders are to be an example to the flock. So elders are to serve, and our Lord Jesus Christ came to serve, and elders are to serve. Jesus said that he did not come to serve, but to be served and to give his life as a ransom for many. Elders are to serve and to be an example. The third thing that we see in these few verses is that the elder's reward is special. It's at the end of verse 1 where Peter talks about the fact that he is a partaker of the glory that is to be revealed. And then it says, and when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. You see, it's the Lord Jesus Christ that rewards eldership, that rewards elders. The church is to honor them, to respect them, to encourage them, to make it easy for them to do their job. The Bible talks about that we're to submit to the elders as those who watch over your souls. Elders watch over your souls. That's a daunting task. But you're to submit to them willingly, is what really verse 5 is all about. Be subject to the elders. You're to do that willingly so that they can serve with joy. I think it's very, very difficult to shepherd people who are not willing to listen to what the elders say. Not that we demand that everybody always agrees to do what the elders say, but come and talk to us if you have problems or issues. Let's get the dialogue going. But the elders' reward is special. They will receive the unfading crown of glory. It's somehow a picture of there's going to be some sort of honor. It's unfading that God gives to the elders who rule well. But one more thing you need to notice about this passage is that Peter tells them to shepherd the flock of God that is among you. You see, it's God's flock. Ultimately, God is the one that shepherds his people. He's the one that cares for his people. Casting all your anxieties upon him because he cares for you. The chief shepherd will appear again. The Lord Jesus Christ will appear. And that's going to be a glorious time for us all. But until he does, he has committed part of his care to the elders of the church. And as the elders of the church, the task is to equip the saints for the work of service, for the building up of the body of Christ. See, part of the goal of the leadership in the church is to equip you folks so that you can serve. So in a sense, we're all to serve. God has delegated part of the oversight, the marking the flock, watching the flock, keeping alert, knowing with great detail what's going on in the flock. He's delegated part of that to the elders. But the work of service is given to the people of God. And so those character qualities that Martin took us through last week in 1 Timothy chapter 3, those are not merely for the elders. We're all to demonstrate those sort of character qualities. Now, the elders are to be an example, maybe set the pace in those things. But we're all to demonstrate those sorts of things. Because you see, we're all to be involved in each other's life and encouraging each other. 1 Corinthians says that we're to rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. We're to be involved with each other. But we see here that Peter is giving instructions to the elders of how they're to lead, and then to the rest of the church in verse 5, that they're to clothe themselves with humility. Let me get my page turned here. To clothe themselves with humility toward one another, for God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Part of humility is that people are to be subject to the elders. That doesn't mean that you can't question us or argue with us, but we're to submit to the elders. And that's part of humility, that we do that. Of course, you all are aware of the fact that we live in a culture that's become very individualistic. and people are just doing their own thing. I'm always shocked when I hear of people making major decisions in their life without seeking counsel. It shouldn't be that way. The Bible tells us that in an abundance of counselors, there is victory. So submit to the elders. Elders, serve wholeheartedly because it's what Christ has called you to do. Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord, for the fact that you have set up an organization in the church. And thank you that organization calls for elders and for deacons. And I pray that you would be raising up people, even for the next generations, to serve well as elders and deacons in this congregation. And Lord, we believe that you put it on the hearts of people to do this. And so we ask that you might be doing that in our midst. And give us wisdom, Lord, as we look to elect elders in the next couple of weeks. So thank you, Lord. Thank you that Jesus Christ is our chief shepherd. And thank you that he is the shepherd and guardian of our souls. It's in him that we rejoice. And we thank you for him. And we thank you for your church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.